Well, Stephen mentioned we are we're taking a 1 week break from our series that we've been in here in the last few weeks called Sons and Daughters of God, and we're doing something special today called Vision Sunday. So we'll come back to that series next week. But today, as kids go back to school, as the weather gets a little cooler, that's right, as football season begins, as we move into a new season, all those are amazing things, right? We think it's good to just stop and pause in this moment and be able to just ask the question, a really big picture question: what is our vision here at New Denver Church? Now, the reason this question is so important is because vision is so important. Let me give you a definition. This is straight out of the dictionary. Vision is the faculty or state of being able to see, right? Now, some of us can do that really well. Maybe you have 20/20 vision. Some of us can't do that so well. Maybe you need contacts. Maybe you wear glasses. Maybe everything is blurry for you until you put those contacts in or those glasses on, and then suddenly what do you have? You have vision. Or how about when you drive in the mountains or you're driving? Have you ever tried to drive east on a Colorado sunny morning and you can't see anything at all? It kind of looks a little bit like, let's go back. Go back one slide. You can't, oh, I can't, can you go back one slide? Okay, there we go. It looks like that, right? And you don't know what to do. And so what do you do? What do you know you need in Colorado?
Sunglasses.
Right, so you can't see at all when you're driving on the road and the sun's blinding you, but you put these on and suddenly you have vision. You can see ahead, you can see the road in front of you. Now, that leads to a second definition, which we already showed you. Oh, wait, it went forward again. I'm trying to control it up here, so I'll just let you control it. So here we do. We're trying to work it together. Vision, here we go. So the second definition is this: it's a clear picture of the future. So when you have vision, when you put those glasses on or you put those shades on or whatever, you can look ahead and you can see what's coming. You can see what's down the road. And we often think about people who have vision in this way. People who have vision can see a clear picture of the future. They can see what life might look like a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road. They can see, here's what I want my job to look like. Here's what I want my career to look like. Here's what I want my financial situation to look like. Here's what I would love my family to look like down the road. And when you have that kind of personal vision in your life, in fact, we spent a ton of time talking about this. We did a whole series on this last year. When you have that kind of personal vision in your life, it brings so much. It brings purpose. You know what you're working towards. It gives you direction. It helps you make really good decisions, because if you know where you're headed, if you know the destination that you eventually want to arrive at, well, then it's easy to say yes to things that are going to help you move in that direction, and it's easy to say no to things that you know are not going to help you move in that direction. So vision gives us all these kinds of things in our lives. In fact, it even gives us confidence, especially when we believe that our vision is not just our own, it's God's vision for our lives. Like, if you've come to a place where you've taken your vision and your dreams and your plans and been able to almost submit them to God and say, God, I'm going to guess that your vision and your dreams and your plans are way bigger and way better for my life than mine are. And so if I can seek out what yours are, and if I'm confident that I'm pursuing your vision in my life, oh, we have so much confidence when we have that. Now, vision is really, really important on an individual level, but it's also important on a corporate level. It's important on an organizational or a communal level to ask a bigger question, not just what is our individual visions, but what's our corporate or community vision as a church here at New Denver Church. And I want to briefly answer that this morning. I want to give you just some ideas about what it is and tell you what I think our vision is, and then how we can maybe live it out here in Denver. So here's what I think our vision is, or here's how I would articulate it. These three things: new lives, new city, and new world. New lives, new city, and new world. New lives, if you think about this for a second, as we all look 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, don't we hope that there's something new about our lives? Don't we hope that God has done something new in our lives? That God has somehow given us more freedom? God has somehow given us more grace? God has given us more fruit? God has given us more meaning? And that's not to say our lives are horrible now. A lot of us would say our lives are pretty good right now. Some of us feel maybe really blessed. And yet, even if we went around the room and asked the question, I'm guessing Every single one of us could think of at least one area, if not multiple areas in our lives, where we just feel stuck. We just feel like we've hit a wall or a barrier, or we feel like we're just bumping up against something and we need God to break through in some significant way. We need God to do something new in our lives. Well, that's our vision, to be a place, to be a church where all together we're seeking God to bring transformation and do something new in our lives. But it's not just an individual thing. It's a citywide thing. Like, we don't want God to just do something new in our personal lives. We want to see something new happen in our neighborhoods. We want to see something new happen in our workplaces where you work, in our schools where we go to school or we send our kids to school, even in our entire city. Like, what would it look like if we were about partnering with God in bringing transformation and God doing something new at the city level? So it doesn't just start and end with us individually. That's part of it, but we also think God is doing something new. And then we think the Bible suggests that God is doing something even bigger than that at a worldwide level. That God's vision for this world is global. In fact, the New Testament talks about it as God bringing about a new creation. Those words are used by Paul. He talks about God almost through the person of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave, it's almost like new creation began. And all the things that are messed up and all the things that are broken and all the things that aren't the way they're supposed to be in the whole world, God is in the process of making those things right. He's in the process of setting those things back in order. And it all began with Jesus rising from the dead, that there was new life that emerged from the tomb that day, and that new life is now working its way into every crack and cranny of the universe. And so, we're about God partnering with Him in bringing about new lives, a new city, and yes, even a new world. That's why we're down in Guatemala. That's why Stephen mentioned that before, because we go down there and we see, even in this little village that seemingly has nothing whatsoever to do with Denver, God is doing something new and amazing there. And we want to join what He's doing there. So that's the vision. New lives, new city, and new world. Now, when we started this church, we didn't have a name. We were in the process of telling people about this church. It was me and Stephen and another guy named Jason, one of the founding pastors. And fundraising is a big part of starting a church. You have to go and ask people to help invest and raise support and raise money to kind of get things going, because there's nobody in the church in the very beginning. And so we sent out these letters. We've got a picture of that. We'll put it online, up on the screen. We sent out these letters, and we didn't have a name at that point. We were just a new church in Denver. You can see that at the top. And that was just kind of what we were going by. And we needed to set up a website, and so a newchurchindenver.org was kind of long. So we just went with newdenverchurch.org, and we just kind of used that for a while, and we told people, this is what we're starting, and this is what we're doing. Would you be interested? But then we got to the point where we needed to like come up with a name for the church. And if you think naming your kids is hard, think about naming a church, because like, We had geographical names, we had thematic names, we had biblical names, but nothing seemed to fit. Nothing at all fit. Nothing seemed to communicate what we wanted to be as a church. And then one day, Stephen said this, and I actually think I said it. There's a debate about whether I said it or Stephen said it, but I'll give him the credit. Stephen said, why don't we just stick with the name New Denver Church? We've already got the website, newdenverchurch.org. But not in the sense that we're a new Denver church, but in the sense that we want to be about a new Denver. Like, the new and the Denver are prominent. The church is going to be really small in the logo, because we want to be about what God is doing new here in Denver. And we want to embody and be a community of people who are about that, who are about this sense of renewal and restoration and redemption and what God is doing in our lives, and yes, in the whole world, and especially right here in this place that we all love and that we all call home, Denver, Colorado. And so that's our vision as a church. Now, new lives, new city. Let's go back. New lives, new city, new world. That's our vision, new lives, new city, and new world. Now, you might be thinking, that seems still kind of general. I need some specifics, right? I know the business people are thinking that right now. Like, give me some, like, what are some specific, tangible, measurable goals for our vision? Like, what are we going to, how many people are going to be here in 2 years? And how many of this is going to happen? How much of that's going to happen? And the truth is, we haven't put together those kind of specific goals or those kind of specific measurable things. I mean, we have some goals and we have some things that we've thought about. We've got some ideas. We feel like God has providentially brought us to this location. I feel like there's something about being right here in the middle of the city, sort of Wash Park and Bonnie Bray and this central area and this building and this location that we're in. We feel like God has brought us here for a reason and we want to be here as long as we can. We want to grow. We would love to multiply. We would love to see more locations, more churches, help plant churches across the city. We'd love to be a part of something bigger than just us, like to be a part of a network of churches across the city that are about a new city and what God is doing new here. So we've got all kinds of goals and all kinds of visions, and yet we always come back to this idea that we feel like we need to submit those specifically to God. And say, God, how that happens and what that actually looks like, we're just going to have to submit that to you. Because oftentimes the way we think about it is a lot smaller than the way you think about it. And your plans are probably going to be way better than our plans. And your master, 10-year plan is probably way better than our master 10-year plan. And so we want to always take this big picture vision, new lives, new city, and a new world, and we always want to bring it before you and say, God, how would you see us partner with you in being a part of what you're doing here in our lives, in our city, and in our world? So with all that in mind, here's what we think God is doing specifically here this fall in this season of life at New Denver Church. And I just want to outline three things as we move forward, three things that we feel like God is doing and ways that we can partner with him. So here's the first one. Number one, we feel like we just need to be a community of people. We just need to be a community of people. Now that sounds really standard and ordinary, and there's nothing unique or sexy or exciting about that. But in a lot of ways, it's countercultural to say that. Because everything in us wants to be individuals. We live in a very individualistic culture. We all have our own schedules. We all have our own timetables. We all work different places. We live different places. We do our own things, and we live life on our own terms. That's just the quality of modern America. And it even shapes the way we view faith and religion. For the most part, most of us think about our faith in very individualistic, personal terms. What do we think about? A personal relationship with God. When we think about prayer, when I mention prayer, you probably think about kind of getting by yourself, quietly praying, just you and God communicating. When we think about reading the Bible, you probably think about maybe setting aside 5 or 10 minutes and having a personal, we used to call it a personal quiet time, where it's just you and God, you're kind of reading the Bible and saying, man. We tend to think about our faith in very personal terms. When we think about becoming a better Christian, we think about habits in our personal lives that we need to work on or things that we need to get better at. Now, there's nothing wrong with all of those things. There's a very personal element to our faith, of course. And yet, if you read the Bible, it's almost as if the Bible is always pushing against that. It's almost as if the New Testament doesn't see us as individuals first who happen to gather once in a while and sing some songs. It's almost like the New Testament sees us as a group of people first and foremost. It calls us the people of God. It calls us the church. In fact, the word church in Greek just meant an assembly or a gathering of people that come together. The people of God, the church. The body of Christ, for which there's many members that come together as one body. It even calls us the family of God. And I want to show you a picture, because I think this captures better than anything. It's like the church is an extended family. Like the extended family that gets together and has a picnic or has a barbecue once or twice a year. And you know how that goes. Like everybody's there. There's some people you're close to. There's some people you're not so close to. There's Uncle Bob. He's probably going to be drunk again this year, you know, and we'll have to work our way around them. And then there's those weird cousins that, like, once a year is plenty of time to see them, you know. It's just like there's those strange family dynamics that happen at these kind of things. But they're still your family. And maybe you wouldn't have picked all of them, but they're still your family. And you know they love you. And you know you somehow, in your own way, love them. And you know they'd be there for you if things got tough. And it's almost as if the community of faith is like this kind of extended family. And so what would it look like for us to see ourselves first and foremost as not just individual Christians who happen to come together, but as first and foremost part of a family, a local family and a local community of faith that gathers to pursue God together? Because the truth is, if you think about our vision, this is integral to our vision, because your life doesn't really change on your own. You don't start to feel and experience a new life or breakthroughs in life on your own. You don't deal with destructive habits on your own. AA figured this out a long time ago. You don't learn how to love other people by yourself. You can't learn how to forgive other people by yourself. You don't even understand who God is very well when you're just by yourself. I want to read you a quote from one of my favorite writers. This is Eugene Peterson. We'll put it on the screen. He says this: "If somebody comes up to me and says, 'Teach me how to pray,' I say, 'Be at this church at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, because that's where you learn how to pray.' One thing we learn is to be led in prayer, and I'm apt to think of prayer as my initiative. I realize I have a need or I'm happy and I pray. The emphasis is on me, and I have a sense that when I pray, I started something. But what happens when I go to church? I sit there and somebody stands before me and says, 'Let us pray.' I didn't start it. I'm responding, which means I'm humbled and my ego is no longer prominent. Now, that's a very basic element in prayer, because prayer is a response to what God has said." He goes on and he says this: "A second thing about praying in community is that when I pray in a congregation, my feelings are not taken into account. Nobody asks me when I enter the congregation, 'How do you feel today? What do you feel like praying about?' So the congregation is a place where I'm gradually learning that prayer is not conditioned or authenticated by my feelings. That's virtually impossible to learn by yourself." You see how important being a part of a community is? It's not important for just us and the personal growth that we want to see in our lives in areas, just one example, like prayer or having a bigger picture understanding of God. It's important for our vision to see what God is doing here in the city. You can't really be a part of what God is doing in a citywide aspect by yourself, or even what God is doing around the world. Like, it's hard to be a part of that just by yourself. But when you're a community of people together who said, "We want to be about new lives, a new Denver, and a new world," God can do something significant with that. Think about what he did with 12 disciples. Maybe 100 people gathered in that first church in Jerusalem after Jesus left them and they were wondering, what in the world is going to happen next? That 100 people changed the world because together they sought God's vision in their life. So living out our vision begins with being a community of people. And I want to challenge you, and each of the three things I mentioned this morning, I want to challenge you on each of them to do something specific. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do on this one. I want to challenge you to make it a priority to come to church every Sunday at 9 a.m. or at 5 p.m. Now, that sounds, I hesitate in saying that because I got to be honest. I grew up in a religious culture where going to church was like a mark of spiritual maturity. If you went to church every Sunday, like you had like the A report card, you could kind of show it to everyone, and you got this, there was a sense that God was somehow taking attendance, and you only had two absences a year, so you better be there, you know, as many times you can. And he's got a checklist, and if I went this week, like I did my religious thing. Like, I grew up in a culture where not everybody, but a lot of people sort of viewed attending church that way. So when I say I want us to make it a priority to actually attend church every Sunday if possible, I don't say it in that vein at all. Here's why I say it. Because the average person in Denver, and there's been people who've sort of counted and tried to figure out about what this is, and I think this fits for Denver, and I think it fits for New Denver Church. The average person in Denver attends church 1.7 times a month. So 1.7, so 1 to 2 Sundays a month, the average person attends. Why? Well, because we live in Denver and the weather is amazing and there's like a million amazing things to do. There's so many better things to do than be in a church on Sunday morning, right? I mean, that's how we think, right? And it's true. There are a lot of amazing things out there to do. And yet, if we're going to be a community of people that's together about a vision, that's really hard to do when you see those people once or twice a month for a few minutes before or after a worship service. And it's not that on Sundays we can go really deep and we have these deep relationships and there's this deep community that's formed. It's almost as if Sundays are a platform for that, for you to meet people for whom you might experience deep relationships with. But there's also something important about coming, like Peterson said, and just coming to being with other people where we say, what this is about is us singing to God today. This is about us praying together today. This is about us opening the Bible and listening together today. And this isn't about me always hearing the sermon that I want to hear or singing the songs that I love to sing. There's going to be days where we sing songs I don't like. There's going to be days when Dan preaches and we don't like it. And there's going to, no. Like, there's going to be like lots of things that we don't like about church from time to time, but we don't come, sorry, Dan. Okay, so me, there's going to be times when I preach and you're not going to like it, which is true. There's times when I preach and I don't like it, so I'll just let you know. That's called the pastor hangover on Monday morning. Can't believe what I said yesterday. But okay, so here's the deal. But we come together, and we don't come together necessarily to hear everything we want to hear, or to be affirmed in everything we want to be affirmed in. We come together because we're a part of something bigger. And we know that when we're a part of something bigger, and it's about God and being a part of His family and His sons and daughters who come together as a family and pray prayers that sometimes I wouldn't pray, or sing songs that sometimes I wouldn't sing, or hear things from the Bible that sometimes I don't want to hear, but I probably need to hear. When we do that, something powerful can happen. So here's the deal. I know it's easy to say this. I'm the pastor. I get paid to come to church on Sunday, you know? But what would it look like if take like being out of town, and take some of us have jobs or we have to work on Sunday, and we get that, like, so take that off the table for a second. But what would it look like if for most of us we said, you know, I'm just going to make it a priority. There's going to be days where I wake up, I'm going to be tired, and I'm just going to drink extra coffee that morning and stumble into church. And there's going to be days where I want to go skiing, and that's okay. I'm going to make it a priority to be back and go to the 5 p.m. service. That's all we have. That's part of the reason we have two services, so that we can make that work. And there's just going to be days where I'm not going to feel like it, but I don't always feel like it. I'm just going to come because I'm a part of something that's bigger than just me. And when we come together, God can use that. So that's the first thing, be a community of people. Here's the second thing. The second is to follow Jesus together. We're a community of people, not just for the sake of community itself, but for the sake of actually following Jesus together. Following His ways, His life, His teachings. More than anything else, when Jesus met people, the first thing He said to them was what? Follow me. Just follow me. Be my disciples. We use this word disciple or discipleship. And disciple just means apprentice. It means someone who's an apprentice of someone else, learning from someone else. So there's a lot of examples we could give. Think about the cobbler who makes shoes. If you want to learn how to make shoes from someone else, we've got to picture this. You just sit under a master cobbler and you learn from him. You become their apprentice. If you want to learn to be a master woodworker, then you sit under a master woodworker. You become their apprentice and you learn from them. Sometimes it takes years to learn their ways. And so when we talk about discipleship, we're essentially just saying we want to be apprentices of Jesus and we want to follow him, not just on our own, but we want to follow him together. We want to see what perspective he could have on our finances. How did he love people? Because that's hard. How did he forgive people? Because that's hard to do. How did he have this a great balance between the work that he did and then times that he went away just to spend with the Father or to rest? That's really hard to do in our culture. How did Jesus do that? Let's follow his ways together. So we want to be a community of people who are following Jesus together. Now, for us, the specific way that we're doing this here at New Denver, it's a real practical way, is we put together what we call discipleship groups. Or we shorten it for, we just call them D groups. And we've done some different things in the past, and so we're trying something a little new this fall. And these D groups are going to meet this fall. And they're small groups of people that don't just meet on Sundays. Discipleship can start on Sundays. I mean, this is great when we gather together and we hear and we worship. But it continues when we meet together in homes with 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 people. And there's not preaching, there's conversation. And we're opening the Bible together, or we're talking about a topic together. And we're asking the question, what does it look like for us to follow Jesus? And here's the circumstance, or here's the situation in my life where I'm wrestling with this. Let's talk through this and figure this out. That's what D groups are all about. Now, we've got a bunch of D groups that we're going to launch in a few weeks. In fact, we've got a bunch of sign-up sheets in the back. We have 8 different D groups. So there's different leaders. Most groups have 2 leaders that are going to lead a group of 8 or 10 or 12 or 14 maybe people together in a home. They're all different kinds of groups. Some of the groups are going to be just for guys. Some of them are going to be just for girls. Some of them are open to anyone. Some of them are for couples. Some of them are going to study books of the Bible. Some of them are going to study different topics or go through different things. They're going to meet on different nights of the week. There's even one group that's going to meet during the day. They're going to meet at different parts in the city. So there's something kind of there for everybody. And they're going to meet just for 8 to 12 weeks this fall. Most of them will wrap up about when the holidays are really kicking off. So the commitment is actually pretty low. To sign up to be in a D group, you're just signing up to say, I want to be a part of this group for the next 8 to 10 or 12 weeks and be with these people. I'm going to show up. I'm going to try to be there every night unless I'm out of town. If there's any homework, some of them will have some reading or a little bit of things to do ahead of time. I'll do that, but that's kind of it. And if at the end of that, things don't go well, or it was weird, or I didn't click with those people, or it wasn't what I expected, that's okay. The group ends. Now, what's cool, some of the groups might keep going, and they might keep meeting, and they might go on next year. There's certainly going to be some new groups that will kick off in January, so if you want to sign up for a different group then, you can try to do that. But it's a pretty easy start in figuring out what does it look like for us together to start meeting in smaller groups and following Jesus together. Here's what I'd like you to do today is actually sign up for one of these groups. We've got 8 groups. If we have 12, 10, 12, 14 people in each group at the most, that's a little over 100 people. Now, there was somebody on staff who said that he didn't, or she didn't, but probably he, didn't think we would fill these groups up in the next couple of weeks. And I think we're going to fill them up by the end of the 5 p.m. service tonight. So here's the deal. I would love for every single person to just sign up for a group today. So we're going to take time. When I end the sermon here in just a few minutes, we're not going to sing anymore. We're just going to end the service right there. And we have more Krispy Kreme donuts that are amazing back there. We've got coffee. There's, what else is there? There's muffins. If you're gluten-free, we got nothing for you. There's bananas back there. But then there's going to be these sign-up sheets in the back. And people who are leading the D groups, a lot of them are here. They'll be hanging out in the back. If you have questions, you can go back and you can look at each of the D groups, what they're going to study, what night they're meeting, when they're going to meet, where it's going to meet, what date they're starting. Most of them are going to start in 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. You can talk to the people back there. If you're super introverted and you just want to walk and sign up and get a donut and run out, you can do that too. You don't have to talk to anybody. Whatever works for you, but would you consider taking the plunge and signing up for one of these groups today? So, first two things were, we want to be a community of people together. What would it look like if we committed to making it a priority to be here on Sundays? We want to follow Jesus together. Let's sign up for D groups and do this together this fall. But the last thing that I want to share that's integral to our vision is this. Invite others to join us. We want to be a community of people who follow Jesus together, but also invite others to join us. In other words, we're saying we're not a closed community. That we think there's something we experience here as a church and we experience together as a community of people following Jesus that we want other people to experience, that we want to invite other people into. Now, I want to show you a picture and it's going to make your mouth water a little bit. This is a campfire burger at Crave. It's my favorite burger at my favorite restaurant in Denver. The meat is buffalo meat. It has melted pepper jack cheese, raspberry barbecue sauce, crispy poblano rings, and coffee-dusted onion strings. It's heavenly. There's a verse in the Bible about this burger, but we don't have time to read it today. But here's the deal. It's my favorite. And anyone that's ever spent much time with me probably knows that I love Crave. If you've ever talked to me about food, Crave has come up at some point. If you've ever talked to me about restaurants in Denver, Crave has come up. You've probably heard about the campfire. Maybe you've heard about the Luther Burger or the Three Little Pigs or Love Stinks. And I can go down the whole menu, but they're all amazing. I love Crave. I talk about it all the time. I tell people about it. I have a Crave t-shirt. I've eaten every burger on the Crave menu. If you ever ask me, where should we go? I'm going to say Crave. Like, that's going to be my first response when we have to pick the restaurant out. I've invited many of you to Crave. If I haven't invited you to Crave, you're invited. Let me know afterwards. We'll put something on the schedule and we will go to Crave together. I can't help but want to share my Crave experience with other people. What if we were a community of faith like that? Where we invited anyone and everyone in appropriate ways and at appropriate times to experience what we experience together as a community of faith when we follow Jesus. For some people, it might be inviting them to church. Like, hey, come to my church. It's on Sunday morning or Sunday night, whenever it's easiest. For some people, it might be inviting them to some sort of event we do. We have events where guys go to the Nuggets game. That's an easy thing. Or there's women's events. Or there's a hiking group that puts together hiking events from time to time. There's a men's retreat happening this fall. It's a great way to invite someone. Or throw a barbecue at your house. Invite a bunch of friends from New Denver Church to be there and a bunch of your other friends, so that they can experience something that you experience. Well, what if we got past our fears of thinking other people are going to think I'm weird if I invite them to something related to my church? I don't think that with Crave, right? I tell everyone I know about that. And the truth is there's some people that come with me and they go to Crave and they leave and they're like, yeah, it was just okay. I judge them internally. but I don't take it personally, right? Like, that's just their fault. Like, they're missing out. Like, I don't know what's wrong with them, but I've talked to people for 15 minutes before about Crave before they tell me they're a vegetarian. And that just makes me want them to go even worse. I will convert you to Crave. Because here's the deal. You know why I'm so passionate? Because I know, even if we have to drive all the way down to Highlands Ranch to get there, even if there's traffic, even if there's a line, which there often is, if you go at the wrong times and we get there and we're going to have to wait, even if the service is bad that night, I know that at some point you're going to bite into this burger and you're going to taste something that's amazing. Now, what if we thought, I want to invite people to be a part of this. I want to invite people to something that, yeah, sometimes feel like an extended family. And yeah, sometimes things are a little weird. And yeah, sometimes we talk in ways that other people don't understand. And yeah, sometimes there's people there that I don't even get along with. And yeah, sometimes things don't always go smoothly. But what if I really believed that at the bottom of it, they might just taste something that would change their life? What would it look like if we were a people, a community of people together who followed Jesus, but then also invited others to join us on that journey? That's our vision here as a church. That's our vision to see our lives become new, to see our city become new, and yes, to even see the whole world become new. And we hope that you'll join us in that. Let me pray. Father God, we do pray that you would give us passion to be excited about what you're excited about. That you break our hearts for the city, for people in our lives who maybe don't even know you, who we want to introduce to you, but we've been scared. Give us boldness, give us courage. And God, even as we want to follow you more in our lives, and as we know that things aren't going right and things aren't as good as we'd like them to be, and there's parts of our lives that are falling apart, God, just give us the courage to say, I want to be a part of a community where that's okay and where together we're figuring this out. God, I pray for each of the leaders who volunteered to lead these discipleship groups. I pray for people who will sign up for them, and I pray that just over the next few weeks as those happen and we put those together, God, you would just orchestrate those in a great way, and that you would lead us into partnering with you and being a part of what you're doing here in our community of faith. We pray this in your name. Amen.